The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.
Here's your money briefing for Monday, April 5th. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal. People are snapping up homes almost as quickly as homeowners can put them on the market. But while it may seem like easy money for homeowners, the path to a smart sale requires a lot of homework.
We're seeing certain homes move much more quickly than others. So single-family homes, for example, high-end single-family homes particularly, homes in good school districts.
The market is just as tricky for home buyers as well. Coming up, our personal finance reporter Julia Carpenter will have tips to ensure a smooth transaction in a tight market. That's after the break.
The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
City dwellers in a race for more space during the pandemic have touched off a housing frenzy, and the high demand has pushed median home prices up 14% in the past 12 months. That's produced a red-hot seller's market. Personal finance reporter Julia Carpenter is here with tips for smart planning and spending for both sellers and buyers. Julia, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So, you know, we've talked a lot on the show about how the pandemic has produced this unique housing market, but now we've entered the spring selling season, and that could actually turn things up a notch.
Absolutely. We're in this period where we're seeing very low housing inventory and super low rates, with the prospect of rates maybe rising in the future. So a lot of people feel this pressure that if they're going to buy a house, they're going to buy it now. They want to be able to lock in this low rate. They want to be able to get one of these few houses that are on the market, and they want to handle it all before we go into summer.
Okay, so no doubt we're in a seller's market. What's the most important thing that sellers should consider?
So before anything else, they need to think about where they're going to live when their house inevitably sells. Because we're in such a hot market, houses for sale move very quickly, and sellers need to have somewhere else to live lined up. If they're renting, if they're downsizing, if they're moving locations, that's the most important thing to consider on the front end.
But what can a seller do to get an edge over other sellers?
We're seeing certain homes move much more quickly than others. So single-family homes, for example, high-end single-family homes particularly, homes in good school districts. We're seeing this huge move to the suburbs, kind of a suburban housing boom. So that's been hugely beneficial as well. A lot of sellers have thought in the past that sprucing up their house, making home improvements, renovations, that could be beneficial. But when I was speaking with one realtor from Wisconsin, she said she's actually been discouraging people from that because oftentimes in the pandemic, we've seen construction materials, contractors, tradespeople have huge wait times for that process.
Wow, that really goes against the grain when you consider traditionally what people do when they sell.
Absolutely. I mean, the realtor I was speaking to in Wisconsin, she said normally people got very concerned about putting all the clutter away, you know, making sure their house is pristine and perfect. And she said now she just tells people, look, this isn't going to matter to the buyer. The buyer is mostly concerned with getting the house before anyone else.
Now, what if somebody just refinanced? Does it make sense for them to, you know, just turn around and then put the house up for sale?
We saw a ton of people refinance last year because the rates were so low and people wanted to capitalize on those low rates. But oftentimes when you refinance, you've already made the calculation that in order to recoup the closing costs and the other associated costs of refinancing, you're going to need to stay in the home for another year or two so that the savings you make from refinancing will pay for themselves. It would be a rare or unusual case for someone to not need that time to recoup. Refinancing at the start of the year, for example, and then selling in the middle of the year, that's a lot of paperwork to go through. That's a lot of savings they could be giving up. And we're also in this really hot housing market that doesn't seem to cool down anytime soon. So I've spoken to sources who said they've told sellers in this position, wait for your moment.
Okay, so the pandemic has upended the housing market. But if somebody sells a house, then they move on to another house, they'll be living there in the post-pandemic era. So how do they work that into their thought process?
Definitely some of the things that we saw as huge pandemic draws at the beginning of the pandemic, home office space, you know, space for exercise equipment, All of that is definitely something to keep in mind, as well as commute time. A lot of people were thinking, we're in this new remote work world. I'm not going to have to commute into the offices frequently, but we don't know yet how that will all settle. Some employers might be wanting people to come back into the office more frequently after everybody is vaccinated. Depending on a successful vaccine rollout, we might see people returning to gyms, returning to, you know, quote unquote, normal pace of life. So some of these considerations that felt very pressing at the beginning of the pandemic may feel less pressing as we see a successful vaccine rollout.
Okay, so now let's look at things from the buyer's perspective. What should be top of mind for them?
Definitely keeping these low rates at the top of their mind, because I think a lot of people are spurred right now to house hunt because of these low rates. We've seen a lot of millennials enter this 30s and up period where they're going to be buying homes, and they want to do it now when interest rates are low. But as one expert told me, interest rates aren't going to be skyrocketing overnight. They're going to be climbing. We've already seen that since last summer when they hit their low, but they're not going to be surging as quickly. So if people are hesitant about getting their financing in order, finding a house that feels right for them, then there's still time for them to move, and they shouldn't feel as pressured as they maybe feel from seeing all of their friends move into new houses.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned millennials and people in their 30s. Some of them could be first-time homebuyers. What kind of challenges does this particular market pose to them?
First-time homebuyers have a hard time because they won't be able, normally, many first-time homebuyers won't have an existing home that they can leverage as part of their deal-making process. So I was speaking with one financial advisor, and he said, this is a time when retirees are really winning because they have a lot of equity in their home. They could potentially become all-cash buyers if they move to a smaller space or a space in a less expensive market. But first-time homebuyers are working with financing that's less secure. Occasionally, they're looking for, you know, metropolitan areas, some of these hotter housing markets. So it's a difficult time for them to compete with some of these other buyers.
You know, the competition for homes is about as fierce as we've ever seen. And for buyers, this can turn into a stressful numbers game, like a bidding war. How should buyers prepare for that?
I was speaking with one realtor, and she said, everybody is overbidding. She's actually telling people, move your bracket for your budget down. If you think you can afford a $300,000 house, for example, start looking at $250,000 houses, because you're going to have to overbid in order to win this house.
And how has the pandemic changed the way that someone might calculate how much house they can afford?
So even though the pandemic adversely affected so many people's outcomes and we saw unemployment skyrocket, we've also seen the personal savings rate go up. So people have saved more in the pandemic, in part because maybe they haven't been able to do some of the things because of lockdown. They haven't been able to go out to eat. They haven't been able to travel. So we've seen people increase their savings. So that could actually be a boon to people who've been able to save more for a down payment and expand their budget. And because the pandemic adversely affected so many people's incomes, they might not have steady income, reliable income like they once had, and that would affect how you qualify for a mortgage.
You know, Julia, buyers could look for a fixer-upper house, or they could look for something that's more, you know, move-in ready. How should they approach that?
Because we're seeing this rush on construction materials and the pandemic, this home improvement boom, people who are spending more time at home, spending more time making home improvements, that's going to be a much longer process than previously thought. You know, again, the realtor I spoke to in Wisconsin, she said materials that people never consider, things like the tar needed to reshingle a roof, we're seeing huge price jumps in that. We're also seeing huge wait times for those materials. So thinking about a fixer-upper, it might make more sense for your budget. You might be able to compromise on certain things, like maybe the kitchen isn't renovated. Maybe you can live with the carpet and not go with the hardwood flooring for a little bit. It's a personal negotiation on that front, but definitely people need to be aware that there are these longer wait times when it comes to renovation and improvement.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Julia Carpenter. Julia, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you as always for having me, JR.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm JR Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.